You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
What is going on, revolutionaries? Hello. Oh my gosh, we're getting so close to election day. You've got Mark Becker on the Rational Revolution. Yes, you can download these episodes as many times as you want, listen to them as many times as you want, civicmedia.us, and come on over and listen and share and all that good stuff. Hey, we got an awesome episode. We're going to start out here with a dude that's been there for a little bit, but he's still a young guy, I'm learning. We got Senator Chris Larson. Oh my gosh, from the 7th District, representing Southeast Milwaukee County. What's going on, Senator?
Not much. How's it going? Thanks
dude,
for having me on.
Good. Yeah. Thank you. I was doing some research on you.
Uh-oh.
And I looked at looked at your picture. I'm like, oh, he's a young dude. But then, oh my God, you were elected in 2011? Like, how old were you?
That doesn't sound right. Yeah, no, I was. I was elected in 2011. I was 29 when
29.
I was first elected.
That's crazy.
I think somebody looked it up once. It was, I think, in the top 10 or lowest 10, however you want to look at it, youngest in the Senate.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah, you know, what happens is age, so I'm still there. And I'm in my 40s, but I think I'm like fifth youngest and third most senior in the body.
That's so weird.
Yeah. Served a whole 5 months in the majority that entire time. hoping to make that longer after these next two election cycles.
Yeah, we're going to get on that. But, you know, the reason why I wanted you to come on, I was reaching out to the fine folks that Bill Nye is part of and talking about how, his message of it's too hot not to vote. And that team said, you know who you should talk to? Is you should talk to Senator Chris Larson, because he knows all about this stuff. And so I wanted to kind of, you know, with all of the horrific weather events that we're having and how mm-hmm. the climate is changing, I wanted to talk about this as another angle of why does this matter? So why does it matter? It's too hot not to vote. Tell me about that.
Yeah, I mean, we are on track where the weather keeps on warming. We're seeing right now what that looks like in Florida with Hurricane Milton rolling through, causing these storm surges and destroying entire houses and entire communities, spinning off tornadoes that took out the Tropicana Field where the Florida Marlins play, just billions of dollars in damage. And all of this is because the Gulf, as the world has been heating up due to climate change, which we have known about for decades, the oil industry has known about for decades, is making the environment possible for these superstorms to heat up and these worst-case scenarios to play out repeatedly one after another. Literally, while some communities are still reeling from Hurricane Helene just last month, this one is rolling through and hitting them yet again. This is, again, it's costing billions and billions of dollars for folks down in Florida and folks in North Carolina. And unfortunately, we're no stranger to that here in Wisconsin. Due to flooding that's happened within our state, we have had to pony up billions of dollars, too, to be able to repair the damage that was done over the recent years. So if we are going to move to in a positive direction, one, the investment is a lot better on the upfront because this invests clean energy jobs. It creates new infrastructure. It creates living wages for folks. And it also helps make sure that we're averting the biggest crisis our planet has faced since the dinosaurs went extinct. So seems to make sense for most rational actors. Unfortunately, there's only one party that seems to care about it right now in this election, and that's the Democrats.
Well, we talk about, you know, being rational, and I think one of the most shameful things that is coming from these storms and the people that need help is this idea that, you know, I think I saw Marjorie Taylor Greene tweeting a picture of like why the government, which she's a part of, by the way, is like controlling the weather and moving stuff. Like it's rather than actually talk about the real reason, these people are talking about how it's big government that's causing weather and making and purposely attacking Florida because they want to get after. Like, what the hell is going on?
Yeah. No, I feel like it's a distraction to try and fact check somebody who does not live in a fact based environment, or doesn't want to live in a fact based environment.
Right.
It creates a little bit easier for them to be able to vote against FEMA, to be able to back something like Project 2025, which eliminates FEMA altogether, and to vote against relief, and then to be able to say, we couldn't have known anything or done anything, and in the meantime spread misinformation about what FEMA agents are doing and saying they're trying to take your land, they're trying to kick you out of your homes, they're not offering any help, and they're keeping all of the aid to themselves, when none of that is true under the Biden administration, where 100% of the requests for aid have been met and are being met through Hurricane Helene. And then, of course, with Hurricane Milton, they're working with Governor DeSantis, not known as an automatic ally of Democratic administrations, but that's who's in charge, right? And you see the politics and what that means. It's not just Marjorie Taylor Greene, but Governor DeSantis was ignoring Kamala Harris's phone call just because he wanted to play politics with this. And if you go back, because I feel like we are constantly living in a refresh, you know, where you hit refresh on Twitter and there's a whole new set of information. You forget what was there, you know, an hour ago, a day ago, a week ago. We got to go back to Hurricane Maria, right? When it hit Puerto Rico, this was something where a probe afterwards showed that his administration, Trump administration, obstructed aid that was designated by Congress. Billions of dollars, $80 billion was allocated to be able to go to the island for relief. Sorry, $20 billion approved for HUD. And a lot of this was blocked by the Trump administration because they didn't want it to go to a community that had voted for Democrats.
Right.
At the same time, no hindrance was put in place for aid for Texas and Florida because those are reliably red states. And that ended up resulting in the second longest blackout in American history.
Yeah.
And it also ended up being one of the deadliest, with over 2,000 people losing their lives. And if you remember back, even that statistic, the 2,975 people who died, was disputed by Donald Trump. He said that number's not real, those people aren't real, and continued to block aid for them as they tried to struggle on their own through recovery. So you have two split screens here of what's going on. It seems like every accusation they make is a confession to what they have done and frankly what they will do moving forward.
It's one thing to try to rationalize with someone like that, but like there is no truth. You know what I mean? Like you're talking about from people dying to an election that really happened to a storm that, you know, the government is there. There is no speck of truth in anything with that side. It's just I don't even know. It's beyond the pale, really. I don't know what where to even go with that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No. I think for this, it's hard to be able to tackle, to be able to say, okay, here's what the real scientists are saying. Here's what reality is telling us, here's what's really going on, and then to try and be able to participate in a democracy where the way that it's set up, it only unfortunately limits it to two real choices, right? And you automatically elevate a side that has no plan to deal with climate change. I mean, Governor DeSantis himself, when he became governor, eliminated climate change from being mentioned within state government. The same happened here when Scott Walker was governor. They refused to acknowledge that climate change even exists, much less that it's a problem that we can try and tackle. And, you know, what does that mean? Well, in our state alone, over the last 10 years, we've had $15.6 billion in damages and 13 deaths by severe flooding events that have happened here. Our state has experienced $31 billion in climate-related disasters over the last decade, and $114 billion in damages that killed more than 400 people. This is what we're dealing with. And literally, one side that's trying to figure out how to invest, how to prevent this, how to make sure we're addressing the biggest problem of our species, and another side that is looking the other way. And this isn't just a matter of ignorance for ignorance sake. That may be the case in some pieces of it, but this is because they're doing the bidding of the most financially successful industry in the history of humanity, which is big oil, right? They benefit the longer we continue to use fossil fuels and we continue to warm the planet, the more money they get, the more money they pump into the coffers of these politicians to hope that everyone's distracted and looks the other way and pretends that, climate change is just an idea that they can ignore without feeling the consequences of it.
Well, and you come back to Wisconsin, we have one of our, Senate candidates yesterday or this week at the Milwaukee Press Club talked about the same darn thing and, how it's not climate change that's the reason that these storms are intensifying. And, that was Eric Hovde. He said that in his remarks.
Right. And this is, and just so you know, what he is saying is, this had happened before, but people in Florida weren't living there.
Right.
Which, if you don't know, if you're like, oh, I guess maybe that's true. Florida's population has increased now that air conditioning is more prevalent. The reality is that's not true. It's BS. And even a recent report found that Hurricane Helene's winds were 11% more intense and rainfall totals about 10% higher because of climate change specifically.
Yeah.
And scientists find time and time again, human-caused climate change is making hurricanes and tropical storms stronger with higher water surface temperatures, and that provides the fuel for more intense hurricanes. So in general, he is wrong, and specifically on this case, on Hurricane Helene, that is not true, right? So he is trying to just distract and make it seem like, this is something we have no control over, we can do nothing about. And it really hides the fact that, Eric Hovde would be the richest U.S. senator if he's elected.
Yeah.
And this is a body that 2/3 of them are already multimillionaires.
Right.
And he would usurp that. And so he's a billionaire who's looking to cover for other billionaires. And that's what he would look out for if he was elected to the U.S. Senate. And, we got to do all we can to make sure that he may not embrace the truth, but we got to make sure that our neighbors embrace the truth and don't vote for the guy.
Yeah, I think I would be cool with not having the richest senator coming from our state. That'd be pretty neat. We're talking with State Senator Chris Larson. We're going to talk on the other side of the break here about that Project 2025 that he mentioned and what kind of climate issues are in that nice little plan. We got the Rational Revolution. I'm Mark Becker. We'll talk in a little bit. Such good music that's played here. God, I think every week I say something like that. We got the Rational Revolution. We got State Senator Chris Larson here. But I've got someone here that's helping me guest host this segment. And then he's my guest next one. I got Mr. Jamie Wall.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, this is kind of random. I'm like, hey, you want to come on in?
I was like, okay.
Yeah,
here,
what the hell,
here we are.
So what's up, Jamie? We got Chris. We're going to talk here in this segment about that Project 2025 stuff. There's so much that we don't know. And I know with the climate and extreme weather response, talk about that in Project 2025.
Yeah, I can jump in. I don't know if Jamie wants
to. No, go ahead.
But the main thing about it is, what we were talking about already about eliminating certain departments and redirecting them. It's moved away from actually tackling climate change in a meaningful way. But before we get to that, even on the nuts and bolts of it, I think that there's sometimes people think, climate change is a big high level issue. But when bills start to change, that really affects people. And a study released just this last week shows that if Project 2025 is implemented, it would increase annual costs by over $200 on an average household over 5 years, and it would be up to $400 on an average household by 2035. It also threatens a lot of the new homeowner savings programs, including tax credits and rebates that help homeowners reduce their electricity bills. And then, of course, you know, the long-term savings that happens by Wisconsin moving towards more energy independence, which a lot of that has been funded by the Inflation Reduction Act. Funds already allocated, not even talking about funds that would be allocated under a Kamala Harris administration. All of that would come to a screeching halt, and we would go back to doubling down on things that we know don't really work. To the part of natural disasters, which we talked about a bit, it talks about, this is nuts. Do you know this, Mark, that they are looking at eliminating the national, they want to privatize the National Weather Service?
I heard about, I'm a weather geek. I love watching, like, you know, storm chasers and stuff. That's stupid. That's really dumb.
Yeah. So they literally want it to be a pay-for service.
Why, though? I don't get that.
Free market, man. I don't understand it either, but it would require users to pay for weather alerts for hurricanes, tornadoes, and flooding. So just imagine what that looks like if you know, you're like, wow.
If you're owning a house in the beach in Sarasota this week, yeah.
Yeah, right. It would be like, right. They have Donald Trump. There actually is no hurricane there whatsoever. Lies. Lies.
Right. You just be like, where's everybody going? I don't have any alerts.
Right.
Yeah.
Perfect golf weather.
We didn't have enough subscription services.
Right. Yeah, right. Turn weather into a subscription show. How is the Inflation Reduction Act the helping Wisconsinites in terms of climate?
How is the Inflation Reduction Act? I mean, look, there's millions of dollars coming into the state that have benefited folks individually, because a lot of this, it because of the way that our legislature is set up, it's kind of broken any funds that are supposed to flow through. We're seeing that over and over. But direct to consumer, you've seen a lot of money going directly, so people can make energy adjustments if they want to switch to solar, switch to renewable, or to be able to install heat pumps. So a lot of these things, there's millions of dollars flowing into the state.
That's awesome.
To be able to help with this, yeah. There's been $940 million in local investments, close to 2,000 new clean energy jobs in the state.
Wow.
And just to give an indication, like, you know, this is going to save $38 billion on electricity bills for the duration of the rest of this decade.
That's crazy.
So this is huge. Republicans voted 40 times to try and repeal the Biden-Harris administration's clean energy plans and various provisions of it. And just, again, give a contrast, that's where Republicans are at. Kamala Harris was literally the deciding vote in making sure that this would pass, because that was a 50-50 Senate at the time.
I really want to hit on this before we go here. Like, what is at stake here from you know, the next 4 years in terms of climate? If the wrong thing happens, or what do we have to do? What is all at stake here?
Yeah, I mean, look, we have Wisconsin's home to 87,000 clean energy jobs. More jobs in the energy sector are for clean energy than for other forms, 60% of them in total. This is something that voters really support, not just Democrats, but 84% of independents support increasing clean energy within our state. And all of that, you know, goes the other way. Not only would that stop, it would be openly inhibited by what would happen with the implementation of a Project 2025. Of, again, you know, moving things over to cronies, and instead of having a civil service, right, which is the people who are most qualified to be in these jobs, it would be an endless sea of MAGA hats of people who are the most loyal to Donald Trump being able to implement these programs. So when you're looking for assistance with getting flood relief or being able to get clear answers on what's happening and trying to be able to weatherize your home or business, you would end up having to basically sign a loyalty oath to the Trump administration before any dollars would get released. That does not sound like the America that I grew up with and would want to foresee for the future. So there's a really, really clear contrast on the line of what we're dealing with, both in dollars and in terms of how our day-to-day government would operate.
Sure, Kristen. I mean, everything you said is right, but I just want to build on that a little bit. Even if climate change was not real, this stuff just still makes sense economically. You know, solar is the cheapest electricity that can be generated right now. And once it's up and running, it's there. The sun shines, not every day, but most days. And we don't have to spend money bringing in oil from Saudi Arabia, bringing in coal from Wyoming. And even if things are clogged up in the state legislature, we've seen some good things happening with businesses and municipalities are taking advantage of those funds. I sit on the board of the Green Bay Water Utility, and we're putting up a small solar array out at our pump station on the lake. And those pumps are thirsty of water, but also thirsty of electricity. And that's all, the federal money's helped make that happen. And it also saved us a bunch of money and some electrical work that needed to be done anyhow. So that was a win for everybody concerned.
That's Jamie Wall. We got State Senator Chris Larson as well. What are your final thoughts here, Chris? We got a minute. What do we need to do? How do we get this across the finish line?
Honestly, we all have friends and relatives in our lives who might not be voting or who are on the fence. I do think having those conversations now rather than the day before the election or frankly after the election is so important, and just asking them the questions of what world they want to live in and ask them what they do know about Project 2025. One of the most effective things that a voter can do is talk to them and say, hey, have you looked into this and what this actually means, and see if that matches up with your vision of where you want Wisconsin to go and where you want America to go. And hear them out and seeing if you can talk some rationality into them. And that's going to, honestly, those person-to-person conversations, that cuts through the millions of dollars of ads, the flood of mail that's going out, all the digital ads and everything else. But if you know somebody in your life and talking about why it matters to you on a personal level, that really makes the difference.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I think, you know, there's so much doom and gloom, but there's a lot to be hopeful for as well. I really believe that. And so I thank you so very much, State Senator Chris Larson. I'd love to have you on the program again. We've got Jamie Wall here to my left. He's going to stick around for the next segment, but appreciate your time today, Senator, and hope to have you on the show soon.
You bet. Anytime. Thanks for having me, Mark. Good luck, Jamie.
Yep, take care.
Yeah, we'll be back on the Rational Revolution just after this.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Busted flat in Baton Rouge.
Huh.
Waiting for a
Rational
train.
Revolution, what's up? I'm Mark. Revolutionaries, we got it's a Senate episode. We had State Senator Chris Larson. Now we got a guy that's hoping to be a state senator here. We got he was with us last segment, but Mr. Jamie Wall.
Just a little, yeah. Thanks for having me, Mark. Yeah.
In studio, my God. Mm-hmm. How about? I suppose it's easier when you're at Northeast Wisconsin. Well,
wherever you go, there you are.
Yeah. What? Yeah. So why are you here? Tell me about that.
Well, I'm running for the state Senate. It's Senate District 30, but it's really the core of Metro Green Bay. It's almost all the city of Green Bay, and then plus Alloway, Ashwaubenon, Bellevue, and De Pere to the south, and then we've got just a little bit of the townships of Ledgeview and Rockland further south of East De Pere. So
it's like old Dave Hansen's district, but just not. In number only.
Exactly. I mean, lost the flange that went up the west side of the bay to Marinette and picked up, everything I just mentioned kind of south of Green Bay along the river.
So I was born and raised in Alloway, so this is near and dear to my heart. Tell me about I know what the district is like. What are the people saying at the doors?
I'd say a few things. One is, It's really not an issue. It's more of an attitude, and it's, you know, why can't you bozos work together and try to get something done? And I don't blame them. It just shows they've been paying attention. Washington is clearly terribly broken, and Madison ain't much better. I don't think you can take the politics out of politics, but I think there are an awful lot of issues where if you could get a few reasonable people in a room for an afternoon, you could probably come up with something that'll work for most of our voters, most of our citizens.
I had the distinct honor to sit down with Tony Evers. I'll talk to about that here. This is what they call a teaser in the business. I'll talk about that in the next segment. But one of the things that he talked about was how excited he is about the new maps.
Mm-hmm.
and how Wisconsin, holy crap, like this is I think it'll take one more election in 2 years to really give a good taste of what, you know, of a government that represents the people of Wisconsin. Representative democracy is cool.
Oh yeah.
But this is much closer than what we've had in a decade.
Oh yeah. Look, Wisconsin's a purple state and we've had a deep, deep red legislature for 15 years. And that's because of those maps. They haven't had to worry about the average citizen, about the average voter. All they were doing is looking, trying to make sure nobody challenged him in a primary. And that meant that the people's business was kind of neglected for a while. No matter what happens in November, I think you're going to see a more representative legislature. And I think you're also going to see people acting like politicians are supposed to act in a democracy, in that, you know, you're going to get up in the morning and you're going to think about the voters in the middle and you're going to come to work and try to do something for them instead of posing for holy pictures and just trying to do things that are right for, you know, the people in the far fringes, which is what we've seen out of the Republicans in Madison here for more than a decade.
Right. Mm-hmm. And what made you want to jump into this race?
We've talked about it a little bit here. I just haven't been real happy with the direction of the state government. I don't think it's working well for regular people, regular citizens, like the folks I grew up with. And I was at a point in my life where it could make sense personally. Running for the legislature under the old maps was a fool's errand. I have a perfectly nice life. I didn't want to blow that up, but they drew a district that was competitive, and you know, with some work and with some discipline, we could come away with a win. So that's what I'm working on now. Yeah,
no, that's awesome. And you know, the new maps are a game changer for everything, and we talked about with so many of the candidates, like, you know, when you have the maps the way that they were set out, you don't have the best and the brightest come out, because it's a, like you say, it's a fool's errand. Why would you do that to yourself? Why would you do that to your family?
Oh, right. But, I mean, I'm not going to tell people that running for office is honest labor, but I will say if you do it right, it is work. You know.
So, oh yeah,
yeah. But I mean, you
go through a lot of shoes,
right? I'm actually on my second pair. Yeah. I bought a new pair a weekend or two ago before the Packer game.
Uh-huh.
So sure, but. You know, in terms of what I'm hearing at the doors, I mean, I talked to you about kind of that attitude, but in terms of actual issues, there's a lot of concerns about the cost of living, you know, whether that be, you know, groceries or gas. And those are things state government actually doesn't have much to do with. But things like housing or health care or child care, which, you know, not everybody cares about, but oh my gosh, the people who do care about, need it. So I'm talking a lot, and you know, in my campaign and with voters here about, you know, what can we do? Is how can we get more housing built in this community? Why should we be taking the Medicaid expansion money and what that's going to mean for lower healthcare costs in the state? And you know, what can we do to help young families who are struggling to afford child care and help get them back in the workforce at a time where every business in town has got a help wanted sign out in front of them? You know, I also think, given that the state's running, you know, record surpluses, we should give some of that money back to the, you know, back to the taxpayer in you know, forms of a tax cut, a real tax cut for regular people who need it. So those are some of the things that I'm hearing at the doors and some of the ways that I'm responding to them in my campaign.
Well, and I think that would be a gasp from a lot of people with, you know, oh, here we got a Democrat talking about tax cuts. Holy cow. So talk about that a little bit. That's one of the things that you want to do when you're telling people at the doors.
Oh, sure. Well, look, we're in a privileged position right now. I mean, the only good thing about Madison being as dysfunctional as it has been, and actually it's not even a good thing. I mean, it's prudent to set a little bit of money aside for a rainy day, whether you're a person or a family or a state government. But if you're running record surpluses because people don't want to talk to each other and they can't agree on, you know, relatively basic things the state government ought to be doing and just letting the money pile up, I mean, that's not healthy. That's overtaxing the citizens. And, you know, I hear from people whose family budgets are pinched. And one reason or one way to help them with that is through a tax cut for regular people. And, you know, I'm not ashamed to say that. I think that's perfectly consistent with the finest principles of the Democratic Party, that if there are folks out there who are struggling economically, let's talk about how we can set the society up in a way that's going to work well for, you know, for everybody.
So we're talking with State Senate candidate Jamie Wall, running for the 30th Senate district here in Northeast Wisconsin. I know you talked about the map. If we want to get into the nerdy minutia, what is the map look like? What is the path to victory here?
Oh, well, I mean, I suppose everybody would say this, but I mean, it's an interesting district because it's not just, You know, one of the other competitive Senate races is down in the northern Milwaukee suburbs, and frankly, it's a lot more homogenous than this one, you know, and then it's very clear sort of, you know, what kind of, what things the voters care about. But this is actually pretty good cross-section of the state. We don't have a ton of rural territory, but there are some farms in the district, but, you know, there are a lot of people who are, you know, working class or even working poor in some parts of the area. And then, you know, I've also walked up, you know, to some very nice houses on the Fox River and, you know, and they have a little different set of concerns, not to say that one's better, you know, or than the other, but it's a little different. That's all. So I'm trying to figure out, you know, how I can fairly represent all these people. And, you know, that if this works out in November, touch wood, that'll be my day job. But, you know, also how to talk to them in a way that makes sense to them and meets them where they are with the concerns that they have.
Yeah, it's one of those things where it's, you know, everybody has dignity, whether you live in a big house on the river or whether you don't.
Oh, sure.
So, you know, that's cool. Yeah, it's a very good cross section of the state, that's for sure.
Well, the reasons are, you know, our poor voters see so many political ads and their mailboxes fill up, and is that this is, you know, this is a swing area and a swing state. And what, you know, what does that mean? It means we're kind of a microcosm of Wisconsin and the whole country in a way. So that's a good thing, or it might be a little bit exhausting for everybody involved.
How is that on you and people close to you with these ads and all
you
that?
You know, I mean, don't shed too many tears for me. I mean, the broad spectrum of human misery. I mean, you know, this is not a difficult existence. I mean, I honestly, I don't watch a lot of TV because of this. It's not relaxing if, you know, there's going to be an ad about you, you know, coming up, but,
he has horns on his head.
Right. Exactly. But no, I mean, I'm just trying to focus on what I control. And, that's, you know, talking to voters. Yesterday I knocked on door number 15,000, and that's a healthy number. And I'll be out again, you know, after a time here in the studio again this afternoon and the kind of near west side of Green Bay. That's where I happen to be today. I mean, I think I've knocked thousands of doors in every community in the district at this point.
Yeah, but, good exercise.
I do get my steps in, you know, 15,000-20,000 a day. So, but you know, the legs are holding up, and so,
you don't knock doors during the Packer games though, right?
No.
Oh, God.
I think I joke with people around me that if we do that, we should go out and do that, do it really aggressively, but do it for my opponent.
Yeah.
That
right.
That would be the way to do it. But no, I think you're losing votes if you're trying to pull them away from the games.
So. Yeah. Someone was saying, oh yeah, I'm going to go out on Sunday. I'm like, don't do that.
Yeah. Or if you do it after it wraps up.
It's not a good idea.
Yes.
So what are going forward, how do we as a state, how do we as a country, how do we as a people get past the damage that's been done by, I'll call it like it is, by Donald Trump and his brand of politics? How do we get?
That's a very good question. I think, you know, part of it is that those of us who are Democrats need to keep on focusing on the needs of regular people, of the average voter, and trying to do a decent job and a responsible job with the things government exists to do, which is making the lives of American citizens, you know, better. And, you know, I can't control what people on the other side of the aisle do. I mean, I do think that If you see repeated defeats, eventually you're going to, you know, look up and say, gosh, maybe we should try something different here. But that hasn't happened so far. I mean, they've chosen, you know, or Donald Trump has chosen to run it back, you know, with this is three presidential elections in a row now, you know, and he's sucked a majority of the oxygen out of the room in all three of those. So, but we'll just have to see where the voters come down. But, you know, what was it? Benjamin Franklin said, we've got a republic if you can keep it. And, you know, it's up to all of us to, you know, think hard about what's right for the country and to vote accordingly.
Yeah. And I think, you know, it's interesting where I think the Democrats have a really incredible opportunity in front of them. You know, there's this crowd of Republicans for Harris and, you know, trying to bring sanity back. I think there's a branch of it that falls on to the shoulders of Democrats to say, hey, if there is a common sense Republican, let's not crucify the guy, you know, because you look at people like Adam Kinzinger and Reid Ribble and, you know, I don't know, Mike Gallagher.
I'd say Rob Coles.
I love Rob Coles.
One of the last moderate Republicans in the state Senate now, and he got sort of shuffled out of the way of a primary now and with the new map. So, you know, we wouldn't always agree with him on every issue, but, you know, he takes the job seriously and he does his homework. And he has a record of legislative achievement that very few other people have, you know.
Right.
And if a majority of the legislators and Republican legislators were like him, we wouldn't be having this conversation.
Right. Exactly.
You know, these are reasonable people that, you know, you can work with and share a more or less share a view of the facts of the world, maybe not what to do about it, but, you know, say this is reality.
At least we can all agree that the government doesn't create and control hurricanes. You know, we could get to that point again.
Didn't think that was a controversial view, but, you know, I'm occasionally wrong about things, you know, so.
Yeah. And I think it would be cool to get to a point where there is some common ground and holy crap, we could actually work together and do stuff. We got a little bit of time left. What is that final message as we're coming into the home stretch here?
I just say, look, I mean, I grew up in this community. I actually grew up in a dairy farm just south of De Pere. I've heard a lot from voters all around the area about what they're worried about, what their concerns on. I mean, you can't knock on 15,000 doors without getting a little bit of a sense of that. I just say that, you know, if the voters send me to Madison, I'm going to work on their behalf. I'm going to try to figure out what's needed and, you know, put my talents to work here. I can't promise you I'm going to get everything right all the time, but I can promise you that I'm going to take the job seriously and try to do what's best for regular people here in Northeast Wisconsin. And, you know, just do right by this community that's really done right by me over the years.
I think that's a pretty good message. I think that's one that that we haven't seen, you know, in the state Senate in a long time. And I think, honestly, we need to have a different direction in the state. I hope you do well, man. I really do.
Thanks. We're working on it. I mean, there's things you control in life and things you control in politics. So I'm trying to get out and, you know, hopefully in the next 3.5 weeks, talk to as many folks as I can. And, you know, if you're listening, keep me in mind on November 5th.
619 Greenbelt Street. Throw a sign in that. Yeah, that's where my parents are. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm sure they would love that.
We'll make a note.
Yeah, sounds good. Thank you so much to Jamie Wall here on the Rational Revolution. I got a story for you coming up next. What's up, revolutionaries? Oh, wow. Hey, many thanks to State Senator Chris Larson and State Senate candidate Jamie Wall. It was the first time I met Jamie. He was a good guy. That was cool. I alluded to this earlier, but have I got a story for you? All right. So this was about a week and a half ago on a Wednesday. So I got a phone call, and it was from a guy named Tony, who's been, I don't know, my handler, I guess, with the Harris campaign, my contact. And this guy has helped us out, and we've gotten some guests and things. You know, he's helped us get Joe Walsh and Mayor Satya Rhodes Conway, amongst others. And he called me, and he's like, hey, what are you doing tomorrow? And I'm like, I don't know. He goes, clear your calendar. The advance team is going to be calling you shortly. I'm like, okay. Bye. And so I got a call about 15 minutes later from a guy named Nick, who I know loosely. I know him, and he's high up in the state campaign for Kamala Harris. And he said, Mark, I'm going to email you something. It's a survey or it's a questionnaire. You need to fill it out within the next 10 minutes. I'm like, okay. And it was like, you know, I had to give him like my social security number, you know, address, next of kin, blah, 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 all that stuff. I was like, wow, that's a lot. And he calls me back, you know, about an hour later. He says, got it. We would like you to come to Ripon, Wisconsin at the event where it's going to be Republicans for Harris. And Liz Cheney is going to be endorsing. We'd like you to do some media for us. And I was like, oh, wow. You know, can my family come? They said, absolutely. And I was like, that's going to be awesome. So they wanted me to speak there. And like, what an honor. That's really, really cool. So we get there. And there's a, you know, there's a line of Secret Service stuff, and they said, go to table A, which is, they don't want to say like VIP or something or whatever, but go to table A. And the lady, I gave him my ID, and she's like, you're Mark Becker. Okay, here's this. I'm like, okay. My wife rolls her eyes like all good wives do. And we go through the security thing, and Kamala Harris campaign staff takes me to the media pit, takes my family to their seating, and I start doing interviews, which was cool. I mean, it was an honor. I got to see old friend Matt Smith, who used to be a reporter here for WBAY up in Green Bay, and got to connect with some of, you know, those folks, and did some national stuff, did some local stuff. It was cool. It was an honor to be asked to even say some words on behalf of the vice president, which I proudly and gladly did. But then Nick comes back, and he's like, Mark, you need to come with me. And there's like a couple of Secret Service agents with him. And then Tony, the other guy, was like, well, he's about to talk to CBS, which I really wanted to do, because that would have been cool. But Nick goes, should we clear that with the vice president? And Tony said, no. Oh, God. No. Mark, you need to go with Nick now. And we start walking, and I'm like, can my family come? And the Secret Service is like, no. What's going on? And my wife's like, Mark, shut up and go. And I'm like, okay, wow, all right, what's happening? And Nick looks at me dumbfounded, and he's like, did nobody tell you? I said, tell me what? And he said, you're gonna have a VIP meeting with Vice President Harris and Representative Liz Cheney. And like, then it started hitting me where I was going, and I looked down at my jeans and my tennis shoes and my work shirt, and I'm like, what the hell, dude? Thanks for the heads up on that. You know, and he looks at me, he's like, you'll be fine, keep walking. Like, oh my God. Holy crap. So we go in, and we go into the school room or whatever, and it's very, you know, there's Secret Service everywhere. I got to see their like little room where they have cameras and all that. It was freaking crazy. Oh my God, it was crazy. I went into the waiting room, and of course I was the last one to be there because that's very on brand for me. And there's my old friend, Charlie Sykes. There's Tracy Mangold and her staff from Republicans for Harris. They're doing an incredible job, by the way. And we sit down and we start talking, and in walks Tony Evers. And of course, me being a smart, you know, what, I was like, holy mackerel. And he's like, yeah. And I say, oh, you could trademark that. And he's like, wow, I don't think you can. That's not how that works. And I'm like, well, what about Jazzed as Hell? So I'm like, all right, I'll shut up now. And it was wild because it was myself, Tracy, Charlie Sykes, and Tony Evers. It was completely unfiltered. And we were just talking about everything. I got to thank Governor Evers for what he did for the state during COVID. And we talked about the Brewers, and we talked about, you know, everything. And I told my wife later that night, I was like, I just talked to the governor of Wisconsin with no staff, no reporters, no cameras, completely unfiltered for 45 minutes. And that was secondary to what happened. And what happened was they walked us into a room, and the governor left, and it was just the four of us. And there's flags everywhere and bright lights. And then a bunch of Secret Service came in, and we waited. And then there were a bunch more Secret Service came in, and in walked Vice President Kamala Harris and Liz Cheney. And we were supposed to meet with them for like 10 minutes. And they just came in and talked to us. And it was surreal. It was absolutely surreal. And at first it was very, you know, rigid and strict and all that. And Liz Cheney, you could kind of see that she was feeling the weight of what she was about to do, because she's very stoic, but she was kind of quiet and reserved. And I was like, are you okay? And she's like, yeah, she goes, I never thought this day would happen, you know, but it was remarkable. And I broke the ice by telling Vice President Harris that my son loves a video of where she says what her favorite curse word is. And she laughed so hard. And, I asked her what her favorite baseball team was, because my son wanted to know that was his question. And she lamented, oh my gosh, I would love to meet him. And she asked what his favorite baseball team was, which is the Red Sox, which dumbfounded her. She says, oh, she goes, as any good Wisconsin sports fan, his favorite team is the Boston Red Sox. And I said, yes. Well, and so she gave her speech and we came out and there was a rope line and she said, I'd love to meet your family. And we were about five rows back and her staff noticed us. And she said, Ben, Red Sox, get up here. And so we did. And she gave everyone a hug. And we talked for a little bit more. And they got to meet the vice president. I took a picture with her and posted it on my social media. It was an incredible experience. So, so much thanks to the vice president's team for like I said to her, I am so grateful that they set a place for people like me and brought people like me and Charlie Sykes and Tracy Mangold into the circle with them. There's room for you. Come on over. Be on the right side of history here on the Rational Revolution. I'm Mark Becker. We'll see you next week. We all want to change the world. But when you talk about destruction, don't you know that you can count me out? Don't you know it's gonna be
the national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.